Once again from that hymn, love caused thine incarnation, love brought thee down to me. Thy thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. That's the God who stoops down once again to save you today. Our sermon text is our epistle lesson from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. You can follow along on the insert. I read in Jesus' name. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. The earth was wicked in God's sight. God looked down and saw that every intention of man's heart was only evil continually. So God told Noah to build a box. Ark literally means box. God said to Noah, "Build me a box, Noah, and build it big. I'm going to send a rain that will destroy everything that has life." Now, if you were Noah, you'd probably be jumping in your car and speeding to Menards or to the lumberyard to get all the tools and building supplies you'd need for this big task. And it was a big task. This was a big box that Noah was to build. Bigger even than a football field and taller than probably any building that we have in our community. It was a big job, and there was a deadline. A true deadline. Because of God's wrath against sin, the rains were going to fall and the floods were going to come, and everything that had breath would die. But God made a covenant with Noah. God told Noah, "You and your family and all the animals that you take with you in the ark, I promise that you will come out the other end safe and secure." Now, when God had first told Noah to build the ark, Noah didn't know how long he had. But we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, so the epistle before this, that God's patience waited in the days of Noah while he was building the ark. Out of God's great love and mercy, out of his promise that he had made with Noah and his family, God patiently waited to pour out his wrath upon sin. And here again in our text today, we hear about God's patience. We hear about God's patience as we wait for God to once again come in judgment, not in water as before, but next in fire. The end is coming. The whole creation will be swallowed up by a roar. The heavenly bodies will burn and melt and be dissolved. It's coming. But we don't know when. In Peter's day, there were scoffers. They had come because Christians still believed that Jesus was coming again. And the Christians and Peter's, they got tired of watching and waiting. They all believed that Jesus would come before those who walked with Jesus had died. But those who had walked with Jesus were starting to die. And so those scoffers came, and Peter quotes them back in verse 4 of this chapter, saying, "Where's the promise of Jesus' return?" Things have been going on like they have ever since the creation of the world. Why would you be so foolish as to believe that Jesus is coming again? And so Peter, in part, writes this letter to encourage his congregations, his readers, to continue to watch and to wait for the coming of Christ. Watching and waiting is tough work. Watchmen have a boring job 99% of the time, and some of them 100% of the time. A watchman who's guarding a building or a city is watching and waiting for something he doesn't even know for sure if it's going to come or not. But if the watchman gets lazy, gets distracted, and falls asleep, the results are disastrous. If the watchmen are not at their post when the enemy, when the thief comes, well, nothing good can come from that. You, brothers and sisters, are watchmen. But you know that you are watching for something that will most surely come. Christ has promised. Christ has promised that He would return. And He promised that He would return soon. But again, after 2,000 years of waiting, we get a little distracted. We get a little sleepy. I'm guessing there were scoffers in Noah's day. Scoffers coming to Noah and saying, "What are you doing building that box, Noah? You're wasting your life." And I'm sure Noah, for many days and weeks and months and years, sat up at night wondering and thinking to himself, "Why in the world am I doing this again?" But see, you and I, we don't even need scoffers most of the time to get us distracted, to keep us from watching for the return of Christ. We live lives and we're pretty comfortable. We think our lives are fairly manageable, and we don't calculate into most of our plans that Christ is coming again. We grow sleepy. We stop watching. How many times in the day are you faced with a decision and you think, as you are making that decision, "My Savior is coming again"? I know I don't do it as often as I should. Christ is coming again, so what sort of people ought you to be? Peter asks. Peter says you're to be believers living lives of holiness and godliness, to be found without spot or wrinkle or blemish, and to be at peace. Be at peace. It's a hard thing when you're waiting to be at peace. When you're waiting, all you can do is anxiously fidget and wait for that thing to come, but you are to be at peace. Christ is coming soon. Soon is relative. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, Peter says. I love that line. 2,000 years isn't slow. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. You know what? My kids teach me that 1 hour can be like 1,000 years. Monday night, one of my children, they've asked me to withhold their name, but one of my children came bounding up the steps, emphatically grabbed a cup from the counter, filled it up, and said, "I haven't had a drink in 1,000 years." Even though that child had had a full cup of water at supper less than an hour before. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You see, before God who is eternal, there's no such thing as fast or slow. All of time stands before Him as a single thing. And to God, Adam is just as close as you are. With the Lord, 1,000 years are as 1 day, or we could even say 1 millionth of a second. What sort of people ought you to be? Living lives of holiness and godliness, knowing that Christ is coming soon. And it doesn't matter if soon means another 1,000,000 years. I doubt it will, but it might. Live lives of godliness and holiness. Because your Lord and your Savior is coming. The heavens, everything you see, will pass away. Everything you observe, everything you can taste or touch or feel or observe, it will all be gone. It will burn up and melt and dissolve. Doomsday is coming, but be at peace. How can you be at peace when all of this mayhem that Peter talks about is coming? You can be at peace because it's your Savior who's bringing it. The one who suffered and bled and died for you is the one who is in control of when that day will come. So be at peace. Your Savior is coming again soon, but He is coming again now in bread and in wine. He's coming to you in this meal of His body and His blood to make you without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. He is feeding you in this meal so that you can be strengthened for lives of service and godliness and holiness, not only to Him, but also to your neighbor. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.